O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. When I was a child, there was a room in our house where if you were sick, that's where you went to recover. And in that room, above this couch, there was a picture. Perhaps you've seen this picture. It was an older man. I always assumed he was an old Dutch man. And he had a white beard and white hair, and he had his hands folded like this, right above a large black Bible. The man was praying. And when I looked at that picture, I thought to myself, that's what godly prayer looks like. It's calm, it's peaceful, there's a steadfastness in it. There's a sense that all is well because we're praying to the Lord. But you'll notice in Psalm 22, as in other psalms, this is not a calm Dutch man with a white beard. This is the psalmist crying out because something is wrong. In fact, this psalm is not the only psalm. You can find others in which the posture of prayer is not a calmness and a peace. In fact, there is no peace, at least initially, in this prayer. It's one of tumult. There is trouble. In fact, you read between the lines here and you find the psalmist, although we don't know the circumstance in particular in which David was writing, but it's a man who is deep in trouble. The picture here is not of serenity, it is of wrestling, or perhaps I can describe it this way. Last summer, our family was on the south side of Lake Michigan when there were storm clouds rolling in, and before we could make our way back to the car, the clouds turned into rain, and it was just beating down on top of us. Maybe that's the way you feel sometimes when you pray. You're all alone, and you're far, and it's not peace, it is struggle. In fact, there's something about these particular verses that describe to us the very heart of prayer. That is, in prayer, we seek to be close to God. But in this prayer, the psalmist says, I am far from you. In fact, Lord, where are you? I'm seeking you, but you are not near. You're far from saving me. I cry, but you do not answer me. I call to you at night, but I find no rest. This is the picture of prayer that David begins with in Psalm 22. And I, for just a moment, want to encourage you, to reflect with you, that this is what godly prayer looks like sometimes. It's not merely when everything goes well. In fact, it is our temptation in psalms like this to say, well, that's where the psalmist begins. Let's skip to the end. You know, by the end of this psalm, everything turns out well. We sang just a few minutes ago, verses 10 and 11 of Psalm 22a set to music. And what happens there? There's joy, there's happiness, everything is set right. We want to skip right to that end, don't we? In fact, that's our tendency in all of life. Let's skip to the happy parts, where everything turns out right. Every fairy tale I've ever told my children or read to my children turns out right. But I tell them stories, maybe this isn't so great, in which the main character always dies. Because I laugh about it, and they do too a bit. It's become our shtick. But sometimes in prayer, when we skip too easily to the ending, we miss the real heart of what prayer is about. Because prayer is about seeking that closeness with our God when it seems as though everything is falling apart. And before we skip forward or move forward to the parts of this psalm in which there is joy and there is the presence of the Lord, I want to acknowledge for just a moment that if you're here tonight, and you think to yourself, my prayer life, because of my life and the circumstances of my life, are not filled with joy. They're not full of happiness. In fact, when I'm praying to the Lord, it feels like I'm all by myself in the corner of my room, pouring out my heart to the Lord, and I don't see the Lord answering me. If that's where you are, you're in good company. Not only with our father in the faith, David, but also with other people who are here tonight. Because as you seek the presence of the Lord in the middle of struggle, whether it's your own sin, a circumstance in life, whether it's perhaps a friend who is struggling through whatever's happening, as you seek the presence of the Lord, my friend, you are discovering the real essence of prayer. But when you move forward in the psalm, you'll notice that there are hints of resolution. And I only want to point out the hints first. In fact, if you read forward in the psalm, you notice that David, as he works through this psalm, vacillates between I see light and yet there is darkness. And again, I would say this is reflective often of our prayers. Sometimes things seem to resolve themselves in our lives and our prayers begin to have that ring of joy, and yet it's not long, and pretty soon the weight and the trouble comes back pretty quickly. And David reflects exactly that. And in the middle of that difficulty, he points us to the first of two things I want to alert you to in terms of the resolution and the seeking and eventually the accomplishment of that returned intimacy with the Lord. He says, if you look forward to verse 9, "Yet you are the one who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth." Well, I would just describe this portion of what David says this way. That when David seems far from the Lord, he says to himself, "Let me think back on what the Lord has done for me. Let me recall the testimony of my own heart and the testimony of what others have said before me about the Lord, and let this comfort my spirit." In fact, I'd say to every one of you, in the middle of those deep times, we can look back and see what the Lord has done, can we not? And we can say, this is the faithfulness of the Lord. God is holy, He is good, He is with me. He has not abandoned me, I am not alone. In fact, if I can just emphasize the importance of that testimony tonight, I would just say to you, if you find verses 1 and 2 familiar, they might not be familiar from Psalm 22, they might actually be familiar to you because Jesus utters these words on the cross. And when he utters these words, he is speaking them in a truer way even than David could hear. Because on the cross, Jesus was in fact separated from the supporting hand of his Father to suffer in our place the absolute wrath of God against our sin. David, in Psalm 22, only feels separated from God. He's not actually. And because Jesus was actually separated from the supporting and caring hand of the Father, when David recalls here that God is good and he does take care of us, and you reflect on that truth, you're reflecting on something that is solid and sure and can never be taken away because of Jesus. If you look just a bit further in the psalm, I want to be brief in pointing this out, but I have to tell you, if you go forward in verse 22, not only does David reflect on his own testimony and the testimony of those around him about the faithfulness of the Lord, if you look in verse 22, you will read, "I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him." Why does he come to this point of joy? Because he has heard the testimony of his own heart and the faithfulness of the Lord. Even more importantly, he's heard the testimony of those around him, especially the great works of the Lord in the past. And what does that move him to do? To testify in the presence of his brothers and sisters about the way that God has come near him. One of the ways we can describe worship, of course, is vertically. We're worshiping God. But you'll notice that most of the songs that we sing are spoken at least partially to each other. Our songs are nothing more than musical prayers that we're offering, and we offer them together and in reflection together on the faithfulness and the presence of the Lord. So that worship includes not only what we say to the Lord and what the Lord says to us, but also what we're saying to each other. And when we come together, one of the things we do to encourage each other, especially those who are in the midst of darkness and trouble and a sense that God is near, is we say to each other, "Brother, sister, God is here. Not just here, but God is near you. God is with you. God loves you." There are so many other things I'd love to say about this psalm. The more I studied it, the more I thought this deserves a lot more attention. But I want to simply point out one more thing before I end with a little note about another photo that hangs in my, or painting that hangs in my parents' home. The other note that I would bring to you, that I would point out to you, is in verse 27, reflecting again on verse 10 of Psalm 22 that we just sang from our hymnals. It says, "All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you, for kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations." The psalmist moves from despair, God is not with me, to the testimony of his own heart and the scripture saying, no, God is with you. He has heard the testimony of his brothers and sisters in worship. No, God is here. We're saying that to each other. And at this point, he says, and when people hear that who do not know who God is, God will use that to bring others to worship the Lord as well. In other words, our despair is moved into a sense of God's care for us that is compelling in a world and a culture that feels very much alone. You think you feel alone? Imagine if you're divorced and your kids won't come to see you. Imagine if you go to work all day and sit in cubicles with people around you, and yet what the workday is done, you drive home and you pop open a TV dinner and you spend the rest of your night watching Netflix movies. Imagine a deep loneliness where you really believe that no one cares about you at all, and it brings a deep sense of despair and depression and sometimes even suicidal thoughts. Why? Because God created us to live in fellowship with others and especially with Him. And when we are very alone, there's something very unnatural that happens to our spirit. And the psalmist says, when others sense our awareness and our joy that our Lord is with us, it becomes compelling to others as they also see that here is a place where they can know and be known, not only other people, by other people, but by God Himself. That other painting that hangs in my parents' home is a representation of the storm that happened on the sea and Peter walking out on the sea, and there's a bright blue sky and there's a light, and the whole picture is one of tumult. Things are not right. But you know from the story in Scripture that as Jesus walks, or rather Peter walks closer to Jesus, hearing the voice of his Savior, eventually the storm is stilled. Why? Because he is with his Lord. And friends, that's also what happens in prayer eventually. You may not know that tonight. You may not feel that it may be a wrestling. And yet in the presence of the Lord, with our Savior, there is peace.